What's up, what's up? This is Sight to the Blind Podcast. First things first. Everyone needs to watch the YouTube channel Truth Unedited and watch the video that he just came out with. I think it's called Christians Need to Watch This, Facts or whatever. Everybody needs to watch that. If you're in Christianity or leaving Christianity, you need to watch that video. It's on his YouTube page. I advise everybody to watch it. Why? Because in the last couple of days, all you get is Christians and different denominations arguing over what to call the Most High. People calling him God, Lord, Jesus Christ, or Jesus is a God. And the evidence is there. I don't get why people can't come out of calling the Father and the Son and these prophets these Eurocentric names when they aren't Europeans, they aren't Greeks, and they aren't Romans. This is the problem with colonizing everything. This is what happens when a particular race touches everything. Now it's the status quo. Now people can't come out of it. Now people can't see the truth and come out of calling the Father these Greek and Roman names, these titles that mean nothing. And that was the whole point I was trying to tell everybody. Everybody's pissed Narc, now because I go deep. My sarcasm and the way I present truth is blunt. I wish I could really talk like Truth Unedited. That brother puts everything together so it's there's no animosity in his voice. It's the straight facts. Me, I got too much emotion in me to ever put a video together like that because my mouth is slick. But it angers me why people can't come out of calling him Jesus. And I just said in the last episode, Jesus is a Roman, Greco-Roman, really, sun god. And they match that sun god with Serapis. And Serapis, they passed on these titles. They made up their own gods. It's like they made up Mithra. And he made an amazing point. He said, why do we call Zeus, Aphrodite, Apollo, Greek names, and we never change them? In the Bible, Apollyon is what they call Apollo, but we call it Apollo, not Apollyon. Why are we so attached to these titles that we can't give the Father and the Son our due respect? In Matthew, he says, I come not. When a Canaanite woman came, you know, was following him around, and the disciples said, yeah, she keeps following us around. Yahusha, the one that everybody, oh, he died for our sins. Yahusha, at the time of his teaching, said, I only was sent to the house of Israel. I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And in Hebrew, it's Yasharel. So you're going to try to tell me that the Father named all these prophets, surnamed these prophets with Yah in their names, Yaakov for Jacob, Matiyahu for Matthew. All these names got Yah in them. If you go into a slave database, they have slave databases where they have all the names, like we were cargo. They have a ship manifest. If you go through that ship manifest, it says Yah in almost all of our ancestors' names. So why would the Most High do that if his name wasn't Yahuwah himself, not God? Why would he name his son Jesus? At that time, there was no J, because the J wasn't invented till 1524. So why would he call him Jesus Christos and leave all the other prophets with their names with Yah in it? Think on that. Why would he do that? If the Most High wanted to name him Jesus Christ, that means every other prophet in the Hebrew text or whatever would have Greek names. It would be James Lord, or James God, or James Christos. It would be John Christos, Enoch Christos, or Enoch Lord. It would be those titles. No, you know, Jesus, I cast out demons in Jesus' name. It's too late. Now that you see or hear the information, it is really up to you if Yah decides to correct you or not correct you. It really isn't up to me. People think they can, you know, social media is, the comment section is for people who can't shoot the messenger. The people that can't squabble with the messenger in real form. That's what the comment section is. So they people fish the comment section looking for people who think like them. And I told them also about the King James. Now, black folk swear up and down King James is black. I haven't seen the information that points me in the direction that King James is black, especially when King James is a Mason. Now, if King James is black, why would all of a sudden at a York Rite Scottish Rite Freemasonry, would they make Prince Hall Freemasonry if King James was black? It would just be Freemasons. It would need to separate the white Freemasons from the black Freemasons. Why would a black man create a Masonic order, then take book, then himself take the books out of the King James Bible, edit the Bible in such a way where he took books out? There's books that we haven't seen. If you ever read Baruch or Ezra or all the other books, you can tell those, some of those verses are missing, where they just stop at 6 or they just stop at 7 or they don't, you know there's something missing. Just like Enoch. You know, if you can, those books of Enoch are literally 100 and some chapters, but really most of those chapters are like 5 or 6 verses in them. You know it has to be more than what they're giving us. So Constantine, who is the originator of the Christian religion, of the Christian pagan religion, he's the one that got one of his other Masonic orders to edit the scripture. Put what you need in there, but anything that has to do with us, take it out. So we never knew who the Edomites were. We never knew how they got to be where they are. We never knew about the 12 patriarchs, the 12 tribes, and where they came from and what they did and how they were so powerful in their day. We never learned anything about Jacob or Esau and their battles with each other and the fact that Jacob slain Esau with an arrow. We never, like I said before, if you can tell bloodlines, they do the same exact thing every single time. It doesn't matter. Human nature is so predictable. Bloodlines do the same exact ignorance. We as Black Americans, Shemites, Israelites, we love following after other people's religions and other people's gods. That's just what we do. The other race, European races, what they do is to stop the truth from coming out, they burn up everything. They burn up libraries and say somebody else did it. They've been doing false flags all their life. The European race and their bloodline, they are synonymous with either lying and destroying things and blaming on other people or taking other people's identity, culture vultures. Ain't that what you're seeing with Kim Kardashian? Ain't you what you're seeing with Eminem, Macklemore? They adapt off to what we do. Like leeches. Everybody's, I seen white girls come from two-parent households are twerking now. Only because we twerking. White people calling, saying the nigga and this nigga. I seen videos of two white boys fighting and I can hear white boys in the background saying, hit that nigga. Because they adapt, they leech off us. They invest in our culture. Which is pretty much why they keep our silly asses on screen all the time. Because people follow our dumbness. They follow our ignorance. But this is what these bloodlines do. And then today, all you see them arguing. Oh, no, it's Jesus Christ, it's Jesus Christ. Oh, no, I call him God. No, it's Lord. And I just specifically laid out, Baal is another name for Lord. They never called the Most High Lord in Scripture. Constantine got a hold of it. King James got a hold of it and started changing. He didn't change. I didn't say he changed the whole Bible. I'm not saying the King James Bible is the worst Bible ever. I'm saying that they change specific words and titles to match how they speak to each other because of the cult of Baal. So if I know I'm trying to relate Baal to Egypt, to the Phoenicians, to Rome, all I got to do is change. I don't need to change the whole Bible. I could just change who you look for or who you worship, the deity that you worship. All I need to do is change their names. I don't need to change the Israelites' names. If you read the real Israelites' name, if you go to Kings, boy, it's some ethnic names in Kings. It's some names in Kings. You could tell them people black. You go to Jasher and you learn about the Amorites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Hivites. You could tell some of those names are ethnic. They took the meat of the name changing, and they probably sat in the meeting, basically the Council of Nicaea, to dictate what needs to be in the Bible. And they didn't want to, they almost left the book of Revelation out. But they sat and was, all right, we can merge it. Because they knew ahead of time that they were going to get this system moving in the right, these religions moving in the right direction to open up Luciferianism, to open up pure Satanism. They knew this. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew if they just changed the deity's name, made it titles, just like all the other fake gods that men have created, if we just make them titles, it would be no different. So when people come out of religion, they will need somewhere to go because we're going to expose it as a sun worship. So we could say at the whole time, ha, 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 you followed this. It didn't really mean nothing. Ha, 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 Jesus is just a sun god that we created. They're going to do that big reveal. After they go to war with Islam, Zionism, and Christianity, once those three wars start popping in the streets, the Antichrist will say, hey, ha, 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 this is sun god worship. The whole time y'all were worshiping sun gods. So everybody's going to throw out all the teachings of Yahusha, all the prophecy, all the scripture, and say, oh, it's just some made up books men made. It's just a man-made book. Because Jesus Christ is really Serapis or really Horus. And that's what they're doing. And that's why they did it. That's why they're giving you titles and not giving the pure names, the ethnic names that the Father has created. So it really should behoove you to respect the fact that the man that died for your sins, you would never want to call him a Greco-Roman name. I don't know why that's so hard for you European races to grasp this concept. I really don't. That is why I offered the Sefer, because it teaches, it gets your mind deprogrammed out of religion, deprogrammed out of colonization, deprogrammed out of Greece, to start seeing the heritage. You stop seeing religion and start seeing a heritage. You start seeing a bloodline. I don't get it. Some of you, before you woke up, will go to football, NFL football games with a league that's 75% black and put black people jerseys on your back to go sit and watch a game for 3 to 4 hours and cheer. And you would put your wife's and black men's jerseys with their names on the back of it. It had no problem doing that. I do not understand why it's a problem when it comes to the Most High and somebody who actually died for your sins. You can't respect him enough to actually call him by his birth name. And this goes all the way back to the bloodlines of Britain. This goes all the way back there. So you think because, you're in America, you different, you are estranged from your bloodline. No, just like we are not estranged from our bloodline, you are not estranged from your bloodline. It's up to you to correct yourself. This is what generational curses are. See, some European races don't think they're cursed. And I'm telling you, the curses are falling over. Just like we were hit with spiritual blindness and not knowing who we were, you are starting to get hit with it, except we are telling you who you are. You think, oh, I'm an American. Further you back, you know it's Irish or England. Before you, you Latinos, you're Mexicans. You are a mixture of Japheth and Ham. All you got to do is look at the core. I'm not talking about when colonization of the Catholic religion took over your country. No, I'm not talking about that. Go to the basis. Go to the foundation of your people's worshiping. Go to the foundation. If you see, if you in Mexico, if they're Aztecs, if you see pyramids, that's why you know the bloodline runs from the Aztecs right into Ham. That's what you were probably, four or five generations removed Hamites. And then, of course, the Europeans came and whited you out. But it's there. All of South America got pyramids in it. Why? Because the way you worship mirrors the way the Hamites worshiped. If, you know, you, I guess you Nordic white folk or you European races and, you know, you get a tad bit of, you know, you like that Viking genre, you should know if you look through your people's bloodline, you look through how they worship. I'm pretty sure they worshiped Odin. They was into Wicca. I mean, look at Burning Man. Burning Man just finished. You know those people in those races. It ain't no, I don't never see anybody black at Burning Man. The day I see black folk partying at Burning Man, I know the Most High got to come about to come through those clouds. I just know it. Anytime I see black folk at Burning Man, I know we in the last of the last days. Like the 5 minutes before it pop off last days. But you usually only see white folk there. Burning Man is Wicca. What do you think draws them to that? It's their bloodline. Their bloodline draws them to this particular type of worship. The same thing with these the EDM trance and house parties or these house festivals, house music festivals. It's the same way. It's in them. It's in us. It's in our bloodline. It's nothing we can do about it. It's in us. What our forefathers have done, those generational bloodlines and those traits carry on. We think we're doing something brand new. We are just, like I said, there's nothing new underneath that sun. We're repeating. That's all we're doing. We're repeating our bloodline. And this goes all the way back to, you know, the queen. And like I said, when black folk get arrested or a professional black player gets killed or whatever, the first thing they do is, oh, he died, and then they bring up his arrest record if he ever had an arrest record. But when it comes to the queen, somebody who is accounted for all the most atrocities out of her bloodline, they're given the most puff piece information about this woman of all time. Which is, like I said, this is what these bloodlines do. And this is why some of you of these European races don't know how to be accountable, because you are never meant to be accountable. You are never put in a position to be accountable. So you don't need to account for nothing. You think your blessings will run forever. You think because you have never been tested that you don't need to change anything you do. That's what you think. That's what you believe. So that's why you fight tooth and nail to hold on to these titles such as Lord, God, and Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to be in a rude awakening when you truly find out that from the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation is about Israelites waking up, coming back to their heritage, and sitting and waiting for this whole world to be destroyed on our account. Not your account, on our account. The only reason why these nations are flowing right now is to get everybody into this Tower of Babel so the Most High can knock it back down again. Every nation that has ever been around us or encountered us or put us to hard bondage was destroyed. Every kingdom that's ever touched us has been destroyed. When we went to the Grecians, destroyed. We went to Egypt, destroyed. Went to Babylon, destroyed. He had King Nebuchadnezzar eating like a dog out in the field. The Most High uses everybody that's not us for his disposal, like Dixie cups. Just throw them away. As soon as you're done, throw them away. He's just letting this run loose now so he can gather us back up. And those who he personally selects to wake up, that isn't of our nation. Not everybody will be destroyed. And it's in Ezra, when the Messiah, when the Mashiach, when Yahushua comes back, it ain't going to be no rapturing. I don't know why y'all get this in your head, like, oh, it's going to get so hard, this 7 years of tribulation, Most High is going to take a break and say, all right, you, all you Christians, go into this ark, and we're going to go on up to heaven. That is not happening. I don't know where this, where I posted where the rapture theology came from, and it came from Freemasons. It came from people with no understanding of scripture, with no Ruach HaKodesh. See, the thing is, people think they can read the Bible and all of a sudden they got the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. It don't work that way. Especially if you're in a religion. There's no way that my Ruach would be the same as your Ruach in a religion. There is no way. That's why I see things differently from everybody else. That's why people got their pennies in a bunch. I'm not going to string you along or gatekeep and get you and pour honey in your ear to get you to think, oh no, this, you could do whatever you want. You could say whatever, you could believe whatever you want. We'll be on the same ladder. We'll be on the same ladder to heaven. It would be no, that'd be impossible. For what, all the hell that we went through, for you to match us in the same line without going through yours first, or going through yours after us, there's no way. There's no way that the Most High said in Genesis that Abraham's descendants will be in bondage for 400 years, and when that nation that they will serve, I will judge it, and they will come away with great substances. Now, why will we come out with great substances and then you get raptured over top of us? How do you think that sounds? And then Revelation, he says, I'm going to show them who think they are Jews, but are not, but of the synagogue of Satan, I'm going to make them bow down to you and show them that I have loved you. He's not talking about Christians. He's not talking about Muslims. Who do you think he's talking to? And that's the problem with the New Testament. Because all the children of the Old Testament is still here. We are trying to get you to cleave with us. We're not trying to be above you or say we're better than you. We're trying to get you to cleave to us because we don't want you to see or want you to go through what we went through. That's the whole point of the scripture. That's the whole point of the Bible. The Bible is the biggest I told you so of all literature. We telling you, if you stop doing this, you won't be judged like we did in Deuteronomy, like all the things that happened in the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah. You won't have to go through this if you just get out your pride, get out your ego, and listen to us. I'm not saying anything trivial or make you... I'm not even giving you the darkest parts. I'm not saying dark, but I'm saying the darkest parables of scripture. I'm not even getting into those scriptures because I don't want to lose you in understanding. The Most High has called us. It ain't like we just woke up and just, oh yeah, we're Israelites with no proof. Most of us were Baptist Christians. Most of us thought what we were doing was cool. We were out there fornicating, clubbing, drinking, being drunk, fighting, and then on Sunday, we forgiven. We hit a tambourine shaking and the music bumping, and we getting up shaking and twisting and jumping and jerking. Oh, we got the spirit. I got the spirit in me. I'm good for a good 72 hours. I'm right back in the club. If the religion didn't work for us, even from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s, and 80s, and on, why do you think it will work for you? We were going, by the time we were going through our curses, you weren't getting cursed. You went through 4 or 5 generations of doing it, whatever you want, with no consequences. And that's dangerous. Because in scripture, the Most High has said, or not the Most High has said, but scripture stated that Yahuwah corrects the son that he loves And if you are getting corrected, no matter how you're getting corrected, if you are getting corrected, you are being loved. And that is dangerous in this time if you are not willing to be corrected. You do not want to get thrown out with the reprobates because you didn't want to listen. And to move forward, the queen has been dead for like a year now. I knew she was dead. She old. I knew after Betty White was gone. I know they could have literally lied. Betty White could have been dead 2 or 3 years before that. All they had to do was tape her in some interviews and then play it on the, you know, it's just like movies that, you know, they had the movie done already for 2 years ago. And then they decided to release it in theaters 3 years later. It works the same way. The queen could have been dead. That Time magazine that had the on Twitter, Time magazine had a interactive cover where it just showed the lightning striking the queen, and she was in a cardboard cutout for the, you know, planet meeting or the meeting of the earth. And she was already, they tell you that she was already gone. So obviously when they did the little Jubilee thing, you don't know what that day that could have been. You don't know what footage you've seen. There's nobody going to say, oh, I didn't see the queen. Obviously, she missed that one day. That should have told you. She wasn't going to do that certain ceremony, but they could have filmed all this before they even released it. Anytime they die, they have to die a Masonic death. They have to do a signaling death ritual. And all that is to show you, because HBO released House of the Dragons, and I'm not going to get into that because I don't really care about none of that show. I never watched Game of Thrones. Don't care for it now. Didn't care for it then. But there's a reason why they did that. House of Dragons, and it's basically about England. Everything is about their bloodline. If you actually look at the logo of the House of Dragons, it's got sixes in it. It's a six. The dragon's neck is a six, and there's a backwards six or upside down six. But it's the signal that we are moving into the Antichrist era. We're moving in to a digital currency. We're moving in, everything falling and crumbling. If you look worldwide, everybody's going through the same thing. Everybody's going through hyperinflation. Everybody's going for lack of resources. And I told you in LA, I told you the day before the last episode, I told you Sunday, and then Monday, what happened? They started having blackouts. It's going to pick up. Now, a homeboy of mine told me that it was shooting, they were doing a nuclear practice test out in California too as well. I told him, be careful with that. Because San Andreas, that movie with The Rock, and all these movies that they show that LA will be flooded, it only takes a bomb or something to go off in the water to create a tsunami. They're already telling you they've been manipulating the weather. It's not really that hard to do on their end, especially when you know we live in an enclosed system. So what do you think they're doing? They sending signals and energy and toxins and chemicals, bouncing it up against the firmament and knocking it back down and creating these earthquakes, creating these, you know, these weather disasters. And that's all they've been doing. But that's the whole thing about HAARP. That's all they've been doing. Screwing with the atmosphere. That's why I was in Virginia not too long ago. And the sky is nothing but chemtrails. They're preparing to flood it. They're preparing anything that's on the seaboard, they're preparing to flood it. Or trying to, or attempting to. And then, like I said before, there are going to be a lot of crimes in areas where the mayors are Democratic. The Jackson, Mississippi water crisis, the mayor is a Democrat Boulay member. The shooting in Phoenix, what I tell you, August 28, 2-8, Phoenix, that is very Masonic. Why? Because the Phoenix rises from the ashes. So it is the old order being destroyed and the new order coming out of the ground or coming, the bird that's coming out flaming. All this runs to the, you know, all this runs to Queen dying on the 8th. Or, like I said, being told to you that she died on the 8th. And then Isaiah Williams, you run it through the gematria, 44, which is 8. His age, 24. Two fours, that's 8. All he's doing is signaling. You can't tell me this guy, he put all this armor on. He put a helmet on. He had a light on the gun he was shooting. And he's just walking around the parking lot, shooting cars, shooting at buildings, just hoping the cops come. He's not even shooting at anybody. Except the white Range Rover came away from the fast food spot. He shot at that, didn't really hit, he maybe injured a couple of people, shot at that, then stayed in that parking lot walking around. That is really like some zombie MK Ultra type mess. You gotta believe, especially when they didn't even show his picture yet. And this happened August 28th. They didn't even show who he is yet. He's walking around the parking lot, just shooting up in the air, shooting buildings. And then the cops come, and then he have a shootout with cops. He runs from the cops, shoot himself, and that's it. That's like MK Ultra, mind programming stuff. With literally no type of, they're not even talking about his Instagram, his social media pages. They're not even getting to this background. They really trying to push this gun law stuff through and through. And they know that their time is running short to get these laws passed. And they got to get them passed while they have a Democratic president. It wouldn't pass if Trump's a president. And they're really trying to get you into the Civil War. They're really trying to get you into this right versus left. And I told y'all before, you shouldn't even subscribe to it. It's really for stupid. It's for NPCs. They got this Patriot Front jumping in and out of U-Hauls. Grown white men jumping in and out of U-Hauls, covering their face with these poorly designed Captain America 1500 shields, walking through the whitest parts of the cities with no action, just marching, doing nothing in different cities, causing a ruckus. And then you'll see, I have seen all of these so-called Christian MAGA preachers talking, they're just filming regular people in these weird churches. They ain't even really churches. It's like a banquet hall in most of these videos I've seen of just pastors talking about the LGBTQ, just talking about anything that has to do with Republicans and Democrats and merging God and Lord and Jesus in it, which should already tell you, if they're doing and saying that, it really doesn't have that much power. Those titles really doesn't have power. And that's all they've been saying, to get liberals upset and think, oh, they're racist. And everything is racist now. Everything is racism. And if I'm in an argument with somebody, I know what's going to, if I know your race, I know what I can say to keep the fight going, to get it juicy. Everybody does this. I don't think everybody's racist. People don't even know what real racism is. Every time MAGA or something comes up, it's racist. Or this racist person is. Or this racist person. That, all they're doing is race baiting you. It didn't even be real racism. For it to be real racism, it has to be a structure in place to stop somebody doing something based on their color. Two people fighting in a McDonald's, fam, is not being racist. Now, you could be bigoted. You could be prejudiced. But you're going to say, everybody has done it. You are going to say whatever words is going to get this person riled up to fight you. But they tagging everything that's racist to Trump, and y'all don't know who the real racists are. Biden came out with that red and black background, which is, they wanted to do that. No matter if people are like, oh, this is what the real image is. It was red and blue. It don't matter, because what they showing you on TV is the image they wanted you to see. They wanted you to see a completely reddish, dark background. They made it look like all he did was talk about MAGA. So, of course, the red background with MAGA, and all they made it look like, he looked like Hitler. Oh, like I said before, if you know these people's bloodlines, fam, they are the most unoriginal people on this planet. All they're doing is taking from everybody else's culture and making it their own and recycling it. They don't come up with nothing new. Demons cannot create. They can only manipulate or steal. They cannot create anything new. If you knew the foundation of these bloodlines, fam, you sit back and laugh at it. Just I laugh at it. They can't help themselves. It's nothing. They can't create nothing cool or popping. That's why they look. They listen to us. They watch us. They get us to do stuff so they can be, oh, we can use this. The whole thing is a bit. Entertainment is a big CIA experiment. It's to watch what people who aren't controlled and watch what they do. And so they can be like, all right, they like doing this. So let's get somebody to do this. Oh, they cater to this emotion. So let's get people to manipulate that and, or pretend to be this so they can we can carry them off into the snare or into the pit. That's all they do. He got up there and did this fire and, you know, fire, hell and brimstone speech. The same thing with Adolf Hitler did. And it even looked more pitiful when he did it because he's 80-something years old and he's senile and you could tell ain't nothing all right with him upstairs. He did all MAGA and Republican. Hey, man, please. There's an MP, they trying to make an NPC war out of fools. And then they try to get y'all with this Trump again. I told you before on previous episodes, they used the Floyd Mayweather brainwashing propaganda. Everybody hated Floyd. More flashy and ignorant Floyd Mayweather was, the more white folk in general wanted to see him lose. Black folk loved it. Black folk loved the fact that he was flashing money and he was winning and he was beating opponents and he could still do whatever he wanted. Black folk ate it up. Black folk loved it. But white folk couldn't, they were putting money on every fight. White folk were putting money for him to lose. They couldn't wait for him to lose. And they saw that like, oh, this is how they react. This is what they do. All right, then let's see if we can do it with political opponents. So all they did was get Donald Trump. Now black folk hate Donald Trump. Everybody hate him. Everybody hates him. They want to see him fall. They don't want to see him win. And he keeps winning and keeps winning and keeps winning. So you think because one of his little flunkies get locked up for donor fraud. Please. Then he had three homeboys already going through it. Stone went through it. He went in and went out. Then he had Cohen, his lawyer. He went in and went out. They don't leave any of these people in jail. They're protected. They're made men. Bannon is not going to, they should abolish the Federal Reserve. And if I ain't died, everybody's doing that same thing. If I'm not suicidal, if they kill me, I'm not suicidal. They're the same thing Jesse Smollett did when he was carried off. Like I said, fam, they don't change. They did that whole fake raid, that fake FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago, and what did they do? They show you some secret files with the front part of it saying secret. Oh, nuclear files. Oh, secret. Oh. Fam, if you really got some real secret files, why would you leave the secret red files on top of the folders? Let me join you. For me, it would be in like a trapper keeper or a binder. Or they would be folded up, hid. Some things was just, they just found them and laid them out and took pictures. And when they took pictures with the Time magazine of Knock Knock in the box. Man, that's just to play with you. That's to show you how fake it is. When everything looks too good, fam, it is. I remember the scene in Minority Report when Tom Cruise's character shoots the guy and he accidentally shoots the guy and he falls out the window. And on the bed is all the pictures of the kids he so-called molested. And then Colin Farrell comes in. He said, I've been working homicide such and such years. He said, when have you seen this much evidence just laid out? And he's like, I haven't. He's like, this is what we call an orgy of evidence. He said, you know how many orgies I've had in being a homicide detective? He said, zero. Which means they just don't have stuff laying around and they're just showing you here. This is what he's doing. It's fake. All of it's fake. They're going to go all the way up to the point of when it's time to vote and all that to try to get him locked up, whatever. They're going to show that he's guilty. They're going to, as they did before, show that he's guilty of sin and then he's going to come out and win. And then all of a sudden, the whole country's gonna go bankrupt. Why? Because it's him who's been programming, they've been programming you to for with Donald Trump to bankrupt stuff. Like his casinos, they go bankrupt. Like his university went bankrupt. Now he's the one that's gonna come in and bankrupt America. I believe so. Right now, they're trying to get all these weird laws under this liberal umbrella. They're trying to get these laws through. And then when Trump get in, now this is where they're going to use the strong arm of the military. This is when they're going to use that police force. Because now it's going to show that the Republicans ain't playing around. It's going to show them being quote unquote racist. And now they're going to really use the arm of their military force to get things back in order. That's what they love. The liberals are the chaos. The left is the real chaos. The right is organized chaos to get you to believe, because everybody's already doing it already. What does the black folk really do? Oh, if they can do it, why can't we do it? If they can rush the Capitol, why can't we rush the Capitol? Everybody's getting to this apple and oranges arguments. They're going to be fooled. Or if they can do it, I can do it. And that's why they've been letting Democrats and liberals tear up the cities with violence, riots. They doing all that just so when Donald Trump get in, the whole city's going to get shut down. The military's going to come out. It's going to be order out of chaos for real. And that's what they're banking on. This new digital currency system, I'd be surprised if it comes through during this election cycle. I'd be surprised. I'm thinking it would be more anticipated when they get the next president in. So we can blame him for everything. It has to be chaos. I don't think it would ever be chaos with Joe Biden. I think it's going to be more chaos with a Republican president because they're already framing them as the enemy. And in the middle of that, they're just writing checks to Ukraine. As I said before, the eviction crisis is about to pop off. If you've seen China, if you want to know where we're heading, for those who are in low income or middle class and those who are on the brink of either losing your house or, you know, you have to move, I'm telling you what they're getting ready to do. They're going to keep raising interest rates. They're going to raise mortgage rates if you're paying rent or you own it. They're going to keep moving these rates up. They're going to price you out of your property. They want to price you out of your property. Why? Because they want everybody in these condominiums. If you've seen any videos on China, what China is going through right now, they have QR codes on their buildings before you go in. If you actually see those high rises that they have, it's a shame. I see it's so many high rises. I'm pretty sure they got families in these high rises. But I seen a video where they were sleeping outside because they missed the curfew, or they missed the curfew, or they missed the QR code lockdown procedure, and they couldn't get in. They couldn't get into their own homes. That's why you see, polio. That's why in these major cities like L.A. and New York, they about to tear it up. They about to, every building that you go into, they're gonna start having QR codes. Now they say polio is running wild. They're going to start having QR codes in these buildings for you to get in them. And if you pop up with COVID, or even if you get the lightest version of COVID, if it pop up, you're not getting into your place. There's going to be people in the streets, just like it was in China. Then they're going to tell you you can't get your money. You can't use any of your money because of your carbon footprint. You can't spend. It's a time to prepare. Time to prepare. This is when you figure you need to go into the wilderness. Go into the wilderness. Yahushua went into the wilderness. Paul went into the wilderness. Moses went into the wilderness. Baruch, he didn't go into the wilderness, but the Most High called him into the field where he only ate flowers so he could get visions of what was going to happen in the future. It's time to do that. It's time for you to learn how to fast. It's time to properly worship, properly call on the Father. It's time to do that. A lot of you who are coming out of these religions or are trying to seek righteousness and live upright, and the first thing you want to do is try to find a group, a community to belong to. You can do whatever you want, but I'm telling you, you don't need a community. You don't need a group. If the problem with the group, you are trapped and following somebody else. You are soaking up what you think is missing out of your own spirit. Most of us are supposed to be in solitude until the Most High gathers us. It ain't us that's supposed to be gathering amongst each other. The Most High will gather us when it's time for us to be gathered. In the meantime, you should be working on yourself individually. You should be seeking the Most High individually, not in a group, not in a prayer session, not in a community. You're supposed to be alone at this point. This is where you're at you're the most sensitive. When you are first waking up, when you first come out of it, you are at your most sensitive. You don't need to be around multiple people, especially you're around people who are going through different types of doctrine and haven't found their footing yet. That's the best thing I ever did, was not put myself in the group, not put myself in one of those Israelite camps. It's the best thing I could ever done. They've been around me. We introduced ourselves to each other. We've been around it, but I stayed away from that. Because when you are around a group and around a community, your understanding of scripture will change. Their understanding of scripture will change. They'll start doing other things as a group that may be something that's not what you're supposed to be doing. I don't get why people are in this cliquish behavior. They need to be around multiple people to not be alone, to feel like they need to feel the spirit being in a group. I don't get it. Solitude is what's best for you. For one, it makes you tough. It makes you mentally and emotionally tough. So when things get hard, you have nobody else to complain to but the Most High. I can't tell you how many times I'd be yelling and talking to myself and then talking to the Most High, being frustrated. He's the only one I talk to. I don't need to go to a therapist. He is the only one I talk to. So it gets you to wait on his answers. It gets you to understand your own spirit and the way your spirit communicates with you, so you know when to act, you know when not to act. You cannot do that if you're searching for a group. You can't grow in the spirit if you're hindering your growth by doing what everybody else is doing. Everybody else is saying Jesus, Lord, and God. Be different. Yahushua said, if they hated you, know that they hated me first. Everybody's saying Jesus is Lord, so everybody's being liked. The only people being hated is the one that's pushing the truth, pushing the reality of Scripture, pushing the ethnicity of the Father and the Son's name. We are the ones being hated. We on the right track then. If you want to be in a group that's saying Jesus, Lord, and God, regardless of where their heart is, if you are in those groups, how far do you think you are able to go with them? Are they doing the right calendar? Are they offering? Drink offering, wood offering, smoke offering, meat offerings? Are they offering? What calendar are they following? Are they in the feast days and holy days? Do they know the proper times to do that? Are they preparing for the Day of Atonement? These are the things you need to ask yourself before you even worrying about, oh, now I need to go find a group to make me feel better about being alone. If y'all understood the prophets, what they had to do being by themselves, poor Jonah tried to run off and then came back, I'll act right. Other prophets have been by themselves. One prophet was scared and like, look, yeah, I can't do it, fam. Can you get somebody else to take my place? You got to get Jehu, which is Yahu. You got to get him. One prophet was scared of Jezebel, so he ran because she wanted to kill him. The reason why I love Jehu, because I was reading 2 Kings. I love Jehu for some reason. I didn't love what he did in the end, because in the end, once you gave a man a power, once you give that man a crown, he ended up doing just as worse that Jeroboam and all them did. If you read 2 Kings, every other king that came out was wicked, and they all did what Jeroboam did. They kept putting worshiping Asherah, and they kept putting things in high places like church steeples. That's where, like obelisks, Baal, that's what it is. Those church steeples you have on Christian churches, they're Baal shafts, which is phallic worship and sun worship, merged into one on those church steeples. But that's what the Israelites did. Every other king was, they didn't knock down the high places. They kept offering smoke offerings to other gods. And the kings didn't cut it out. The kings didn't destroy those high places. So I love Jehu because Yah told him, I want you to remove. Matter of fact, I love how they use the term pisseth, pisseth against the wall. I love that term. So that means he's talking about every man that can piss up against the wall, I want him eradicated. And that's what the Most High said. He said, every man child or man adult out of the house of Ahab, I want you to destroy. And Jehu didn't say nothing. He got the bow. He strutted it back. They were like, he ain't waste no words. If you read 2 Kings, he wasted no words doing what he was supposed to do. He told Jehu, throw her ass down. The eunuchs picked her up, throw her down. He went off to Ahab, and he set traps for him. He told him, like, look, I'm coming. I know Ahab's sons are in this particular town. Now, you got a choice to make. Now, if you're going to go against me, you better go tell some men. You better get some swords and all that and line up because I'm coming. And they told him, like, no. We'll do, if you're the king, we'll do whatever we'll do whatever you say. So he's like, all right, I want you to take the sons. They rounded up all the sons, and I want you to cut their heads off and give me their heads. And sure enough, they took all the sons the sons of Ahab that the town was hiding, cut all of their heads off. It was 72 sons, 70 plus sons that Ahab had, cut all their heads off. So what he did was set a trap for his Baal worshipers. So the prophets of Baal, he had this town meeting. So they thought, Jehu, one of us. Like, all right, Jehu, just like Ahab, we'll follow Jehu. Jehu about that, you know, that Baal life. So what Jehu said, all right, everybody into this, the called out assembly, go into the house of worship, the house of Baal. So he said, all right, I want everybody that's only Baal prophets to come into the house of Baal. So, of course, they go in there. They offer smoke offerings to the Baal god or whatever. He said, all right, cool. Jehu leaves. He said, he told him, all right, now I want you to kill every single prophet in here. If you let any of these prophets out, I'm killing you too. Man, I love Jehu. So he said, if anybody leaves or anybody flees and escapes this judgment, I'm killing you too. So, of course, they go in there and kill all the prophets of Baal. All the prophets of Baal. But then I want to tell you the story about Eliyahu. I like the story. So then Moab, as 2 Kings, Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahijahu fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers. This is an Israelite. He sent messengers and said it to them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the Elohai of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Now, let me stop there. Now, where do you think Akron, Ohio got that name? If you look up Ekron, it's Eqron, but it sounds like Akron, right? If there's actually a Moab in the United States, if you go to like Google Maps or whatever and look up Moab, there's actually a Moab. And like I said, fam, they mimic every little thing we do. They mimic everything. They repeat it. There's so many places that got biblical names. They shouldn't even have biblical names, but they do. But I just thought it was funny that I saw Ekron with Beelzebub, and the reason why Akron, Ohio has that 33 zip code or 33 area code was very telling to me. So what the angel of Yahuwah said to Eliyahu, said, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto him, is it not because there is not an Elohim in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the Elohai of Ekron. So the Most High told an angel to tell Eliyahu, why did you want to call on Beelzebub? Why do you want to call on a fake god, a fake idol for help? Don't you know that I'm always here? This is Yah. Don't you know I'm always here for you? If you come to me and ask and require of me, I'm always here. This is the point I'm trying to make where y'all want to be in these groups and communities and cliques. Even when you're in your sin, even when you are dead ass wrong, the Most High is sitting here saying, why you want to go into a group? Why you want to go into a community? Have I not been here for you? Have I not been here this entire time? So they got pissed at Eliyahu, or what Eliyahu had said, because Eliyahu said, you are going to die on that bed, because since you didn't inquire of Yahuwah, you're going to sit there in this bed and you're going to die in your sickness. So he left, went up to a hill by himself now, went up to the hill, and then the king was mad, got pissed off. He said, all right, take a captain of men and 50 men and go up to him and bring his tail back down here. So, of course, the captain, 50 men, go up a hill to try to get Eliyahu to come back down. And Eliyahu answered and said unto them, if I be a man of Elohim, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. So what you think Yah did, y'all?
You think it's a game? Get fire on these bitches one time.
And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came into and fell on his knees. But first, this happened twice. Twice. So 100 men, two captains, went up there to try to drag Eliyahu down. And the Most High did what the second time?
You think it's a game? Get fire on these bitches one time.
So he sent again a captain of the 50 with his 50, and the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Eliyahu and besought him and said unto him, O man of Elohim, I pray you, let my life and the life of these 50, your servants, be precious in your sight. Behold, another fire came down.
You think it's a game? Get fire on these bitches one time.
And the fire that came down burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. So he hit them, so he double tapped. So Yah not only hit the two captains and their 100 men, he hit them once, and then he hit them again. He said, therefore, let my life now be precious in your sight. And the angel of Yahuwah said unto Eliyahu, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus says Yahuwah, for as much as you have sent messages to inquire of Beelzebub, the Elohai of Ekron, is it not because there is no Elohim in Yasharel to inquire of his word? Therefore, you shall not come down off that bed on which you are gone up, but you shall surely die. So he died accordingly to the word of Yahuwah, which Eliyahu had spoken, and Yoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Yoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, because he had no son. So what does that tell you? Eliyahu, by himself, facing not 50, not 100, but 150 men and three captains. And what did the Most High had to show him? He had to show them that Eliyahu didn't get scared. He didn't run. He didn't call up his homeboy and say, hey, come back me up. This is the whole point of reading scriptures that's not just New Testament. This is the point. Now, we might not have fire come down from heaven to defend us, but the point is still valid. That if you are by yourself, you always have Yahuwah watching you, waiting for you. Especially if you're walking in uprightness and righteousness, you are more connected to the Most High than somebody who's connected through a religion. I like that Kevin Hart thing. I'm gonna start using that. Because when, let me take it back. Sodom and Gomorrah, they out there having a great time in their pride, in their sin, in their lust. Abraham tell Lot, yo, you should get out. The Most High is going to burn this place up. And sure enough, what Eddie was probably lusting, having dog sex, men versus men, the Most High opened up the gates of heaven.
You think it's a game? Get fire on these bitches one time.
When Yahusha comes back, you think he rapturing anybody? No, what do you think Yahusha going to do?
You think it's a game? Get fire on these bitches one time.
When Yah used the sun, wormwood, to tear up all the waters and all that, what did he tell you? He wasn't going to destroy this world with water. What did he say he's going to destroy this world with this time?
You think it's a game? Get fire on these bitches one time.
So the lessons to be learned here is that in the next couple of years, okay, the next couple is if you are single or you with your significant other, fam, y'all need to start working together as a team. This is a perfect time for if you are with a significant other, you both go into the wilderness individually, strengthen yourselves, come back together, and get ready for war, spiritual war. Because if you are can tell by any of these matrix numerology violence that's going around, descriptive violence that you see, it's going to get worse. And if you understand gematria, if you understand numerology, if you understand what I've been saying about how they put everything into a numeric value, if you can understand that, you will know better how to move in this system. Remember, everything is locked. Now, y'all, you need to understand this. Nothing is at random. Everything is locked. Everything is already predicted. Everything is already prophesied. So all you got to do is put your armor on. So you need, before you put your armor on, before you put that animantium on, before you put that vibranium on, you need to go into the wilderness to know what you are about. You need to go in and find yourself and find out, could you really make it by yourself? If you're a single, if you're a single woman, a single man, it don't matter. It's ladies, it's time to be Judith. It's time to warrior up. It's time to be Esther. It's time to be Ruth. If you coming out of Babylon or coming out of worshiping false idols, it is time. This is a perfect time to get ready to go into the wilderness to find out what you really are made of. Because once that gate closes, once this NPC civil war heat up, you are going to know how to maneuver and manipulate the matrix to where it works for you. And that's what I've been trying to tell you, that the Most High uses other nations like Dixie cups. They don't matter. So if people that are glued into this system, this matrix, this NPC, they don't matter because they have not wanted to find the Most High. So they're running around lost, but they're running around lost in a system set up by a control opposition, set up by numeric value. So when you see it coming, and you will see it coming, you know how to operate. This is what you're getting ready to, this is what you're preparing for. This is what I'm preparing you for. To put on that full body of armor. It's going to get muggy. You're going to be doubtful. You're going to get scared. You're going to be put in fear in some situations. That is why you do not need to be part of a community right now, because the Most High is going to gather those who are really going to help your cause to you, so you don't have to worry. You should be like Jehu, men. You should put, when he tells you to do something, you do it. Be like Eliyahu, men and women. Be like Eliyahu. Get yourself up on that hill. Say you are man, or woman of Elohim, and get ready to be defended with fireballs.
You think it's a game? Get fire on these bitches one time.
I'll see y'all next week.
We'll be right back.